Well, it's just after 7:45 on Saturday morning, and right now, literally thousands of Australians are out fishing, off the rocks, from the beach, dropping a line over the side of a boat. It's one of the great Australian pastimes, and as such, it naturally arouses passions. And passions are being aroused around the country at the moment over marine parks. Australia currently has over 300 marine protected areas, and more are proposed. They're modelled pretty much on land-based national parks as ecology preservation areas. Now, in some places, fishing's banned completely, while in others, there are partial bans and so on. In several states, there's growing anger among recreational fishers in particular over plans to extend marine parks. And in New South Wales, the Shooters and Fishers Party, which has a potentially powerful role in the new New South Wales Upper House, is demanding a stop to the expansion of marine parks until the science is settled. Doesn't that have a familiar ring to it? So we've invited two prominent scientists this Easter Saturday to give us their views on the value of marine parks. Both argue for protection of marine environments, but they have different views about marine parks. Bob Carney is Emeritus Professor in Fisheries at the University of Canberra, and Hugh Possingham is Professor of Mathematics and Ecology at the University of Queensland. So Bob and Hugh, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, good morning,
John. Now, Hugh Possingham, I think most people would agree on the importance of marine protection, and there are many things that do threaten marine environments, pollution, exotic pests, overfishing and so on. In the Australian context, what are the main threats that marine parks are designed to deal with?
Well, I think the main threat that they're designed to deal with is fishing activities, extractive activities, which could also include mining. However, some of the things clearly aren't stopped by marine parks immediately, like pollution from the land, which we know is a major threat to marine ecosystems, invasive species. However, the fact that you remove the fishing has been proved in the science to provide resilience to those ecosystems to those other threats. So although clearly making a green bit on the map in the sea doesn't stop the pollution, it makes the system more resilient. That's been scientifically proven. But also, it can be a rallying point to say, look, we've got a marine park, there's nutrients and sediments coming from land-based runoff, can we clean that up? Which is, in fact, what some states and the federal government are doing already in terms of reducing nutrients and runoff into the ocean. So they have two functions.
And how does it improve that the general biodiversity? Over how many years, would you say? Because the evidence suggests it can take a long time.
Oh, some responses are very fast. So the recovery of species that are actually directly fished can be 2 or 3 years. Some responses are quite slow, over 10 years. And in fact, because although you say we have 300 marine parks, our marine park system is very small relative to our terrestrial park system. We're well ahead of many countries in the world, but it's nowhere near the 10 to 15% that we've signed up to in international conventions. Right. And so we're still in the early days of building a marine park system.
Now, Bob, do you agree with this assessment of what marine parks can do to protect Australia's marine environments?
No, I don't, obviously. I don't agree with Hugh's assertion that fishing is the major threat that needs to be addressed in the marine environment. I think the ones that you mentioned earlier, in particular introduced organisms and pathogens and included in that, pollution and inappropriate coastal development, extractive use of water and building dams and things which impacts coastal areas in particular, and destructive fishing practices can be a problem, but just to assume that fishing is the major problem, I think, is just fundamentally wrong.
Because he didn't say that. He said it was among the various threats and that could be tackled.
Yeah, okay. He started off with it. That's all, and I think it's way, way down the list because fishing is a problem if you don't manage it. But in Australia, we have relatively well managed fisheries, and overfishing is a problem, and overfishing was a problem in Australia. But it's not a significant problem anymore, certainly not compared to those other threats.
So, Hugh Possingham, what weight do you put on overfishing then? Because you did outline, it almost sounded to me, can I just sort of almost paraphrase myself, as if you were saying it was a device to start a much broader debate.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Something we can do now and relatively quickly, and it's possibly less extensive than many of the other activities. Moreton Bay, for example, they actually started here on the marine pollution side early on, have spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and they've got another $1 billion to go in terms of cleaning up the nutrients and sediments that come down the Brisbane River and the other rivers in southeast Queensland. While they're doing that, they've also brought in a marine park system that's conserved 15% of every habitat type. So they're tackling both issues. We need to tackle both issues. In some sense, it is a bit like forestry things, forestry debates. Now, selective, careful logging is not that damaging, but we have decided as a society, just as very careful fishing will be damaging but not that damaging, we've decided that 10 or 15% of the world, in some cases more, is meant for nature, the other 10 million species on the planet. And those things will have no human impact. So it's a very small part of the world to set aside, to say this is for nature, we'll try and do nothing, and we'll try and minimise the impact on those places.
And okay, and what's the matter with this approach, Bob, or this type of thinking?
Well, the problem is that the marine systems are not the same as terrestrial systems to start with, and you have to be extraordinarily cautious about trying to transpose things that work in terrestrial systems into the marine environment. But coming back to the point of the threats that you raised earlier and the effects of fishing on resilience and things, and he says the science on this is resolved, it's by no means resolved. I mean, there's an awful lot of science out there, publications out there that show that fishing has had an impact, and that controlling it in areas where it has been excessive can lead to changes, but truly assessing those as to being benefits is another story. And in most cases, the translocation of fishing, which occurs when you close areas of fishing, often has a negative impact and not a positive one. And most of the data that's out there relates to reef areas and not to coastal systems, and particularly not estuaries, ocean beaches, where the natural changes in those environments, such as by floods and others, far outweigh any negative impacts of fishing. And in fact, the effects of fishing are extremely small. And so trying to manage them really causes social and fisheries production translocations, fisheries production problems, for no properly assessed benefit, none at all in many areas.
Are you a fisherman yourself, Bob?
Yes, I am.
So, I mean, is personal passion driving you? Can I ask you, are you being dispassionate about this?
None of the areas that I fish have been affected by the marine parks in New South Wales. My passion in this is because of the abuse of the science that's been done by governments, in particular New South Wales and South Australia, and you referred to the science, and the New South Wales government just fraudulently misrepresented the science in relation to marine parks to convince the people to support them, and it was fraud. Even their independent review committee agreed that it was. And so that's the sort of information that's being used to convince people that this is the right way to go, and it isn't. It needs to be properly scientifically assessed, and that's what the issue is. Now, my interest in fishing is far subservient to my interest in having proper science used in this, and science properly used in the government process.
See, Hugh, isn't it possible that sometimes, with the best will in the world, you might screen out the very people who might protect you, in other words, fisher folk, who might protect your marine environments better than others? You know, that you sort of try to use a sledgehammer to crack a nut.
Well, certainly I don't think marine parks are going to stop people doing recreational fishing. In fact, one of the most interesting pieces of data and one of the best papers about marine parks is from the Great Barrier Reef. And there they didn't just look at all the positive impacts of marine parks, which have accumulated over the last 20 years. They also looked at the number of registrations of recreational fishing boats. And in 2004, the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park expanded from about 5% to 33%. It is heavily protected, and of course it makes billions of dollars in tourism, that's why. Yep. In that process, the change in boat vehicle registrations was going up. In 2004, it continued to go up. It did not even wobble. The only thing that stopped it was the global financial crisis, interestingly. So the data actually says that even an extensive park system like in the Great Barrier Reef appears to have no impact on recreational fishing. And I agree with Bob. I've had students working in marine parks trying to work out their effects. Every time they go out there and sample the marine park, it's a fisherman who rings up and says, hey, that's our park. We like that because that's improving our fishing because it's a marine park. We're nearer where we fish and the patrol boats are out there very quickly.
Look, thank you both. We're going to leave it there and invite listeners to bring us their own thoughts. Bob Carney, thank you very much to you.
Good morning, Julie.
Bob is Emeritus Professor in Fisheries at the University of Canberra. And Hugh Possingham, thank you to you.
Thanks, Geraldine.
He's Professor of Mathematics and Ecology at the University of Queensland. So do go to our website if you'd like links to some further reading, if you are so inclined on this impassioned topic.